Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
But this team, to me, there's just a bunch of guys who you know are pretty good to very good, but not enough to do a ton of damage.
I mean, I don't...
J.J. Barea, Darren Williams, and also I want to give a wag of my finger to Darren Williams, because every time I see him, he looks like Vince Carter to me. He's got the headband and the beard.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't like that kind of misdirection. That's dirty play.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Sweet
Jerry,
with
the train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to The Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is March 13th, 2016, and this is episode 168, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering the games against San Antonio and Dallas. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What's up, Undebeatables? Quick shout-out to my buddy Mike Anarino. Spent the weekend hanging out in New York with him, catching some Big East tournament basketball. It was nice. I went to the Mecca, guys, the Mecca of basketball. And I encourage anybody that's a basketball fan to do that at some point in their life. It was an awesome experience. Xavier lost, but still, saw some good hoops.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What is going on, boys? Quick shout out to Moms Colson. Love you. Hope everything is okay.
Yeah, be good.
Yeah.
Be great.
This show, we want to start off with the news we got in this week. Joey Crawford is retiring now. He's retired. He's got an injury. It's not been getting any better. And he's just, he'd already renounced retirement, but he's done right now. If you guys remember earlier in the year during a Pacers game that he was refereeing, he left from the pain in his knee. So they were down to two refs in a game, which was, something you don't see very often in the NBA. But he's done. He's one of the most controversial referees. High profile, I guess, as referees go. What do you guys think about his retirement?
Well, I want to say first, Joey, I think that you might be getting investigated for this, because I think that the loss of Joey Crawford significantly increases the chances that the Spurs could beat the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm not sure that you're not a little bit motivated to take him out of play.
Look, here's the thing.
You didn't Nancy Kerrigan him, did you?
No. He's a well-known hater of several teams. I always felt he was... I always felt he hated the Pacers. And I just... you see his bald head out there when the game starts, and you knew this was going to be a rough one, particularly in the Reggie Miller days. But we don't have to worry about this anymore. And apparently, you think this is going to affect the Spurs.
I'm just... he definitely did not like Tim Duncan, and he admitted now that he there's this infamous play where he tossed Tim Duncan from a game for laughing at a foul that that Joey Crawford had called, and he now admitted that it was just total spite the reason for throwing him out of the game.
And don't forget, he also challenged him to a fight. Yes. Well, I guess he didn't challenge him. He said, if you want to fight, we can do that.
Yeah.
Just a hilarious...
It wasn't a challenge. It was an offer.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was
being very cordial.
Exactly.
Right. The ejection, you got to pay for. The fight, that's free with the ejection. I will say this. I always felt like Joey Crawford hated us. I'm sure Spurs fan felt that way. Thunder fans will remember that... In the middle of a Game 5 Western Conference game, he stopped in the middle of a Kevin Durant free throw, which he hit and then got wiped off, and he missed the retake on that. I'm sure Thunder fans think that he hated them too, but Durant had a great quote, and it was, when I first got into league, I used to wonder why he was so mad and upset. But I noticed as I got older, he never changed. He wasn't being that way because it was a TV game or it was Game 5 or the Western Conference Finals. He stayed consistent from the preseason to the regular season through the playoffs and finals. So I guess the moral of the story is Joey Crawford hated everyone equally.
Mm, yep. And that's what made him a good referee, I think.
Yes.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, he was at least a character and a good referee. I guess they don't really keep metrics on those things, so it's hard to statistically say that, but he was in the league for 39 years, so he had to be doing something right all those years.
Right. Although it is funny, he was quoted as saying, I had to constantly be told, quote, you need to do a little personality overhaul, Joe, which is great.
So, cheers, Joey Crawford, to the long and successful career.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Congratulations, cheers. Joey, on a well-earned retirement. Not you, Gofrey, to get to work.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast. Great.
So we had two games this week, I'm happy to report. First one... Pacers take on the beloved San Antonio Spurs Monday, March 7th. I sent Colson in my stead to that game. You know what? Pacers give them their 10th loss of the season, winning 99-91.
Yeah, baby!
That's right. They beat the Spurs. It's very, very exciting. Pop was out with a family medical emergency. But I don't think that was the difference. Monta Ellis, huge, 26 points. Kawhi Leonard, a big fan of his, 23 points as well, another 23 from LaMarcus Aldridge. But, man, beating the Spurs, you know, it's at home. And I don't know. What do you guys think about this? It's just exciting news all around. This is a team that, the Pacers are just not expected to win.
Right. Yeah, certainly the underdogs on this one. Just so much great stuff in this game. It was close down the stretch, and we closed this thing out. PG and Kawhi Leonard was fun as hell to watch. Ultimately, they kind of play each other to a standstill, which you'd think would mean that we lost this thing. But we got great support from George Hill and from Monte Ellis. Really, just a really solid team win, and it was a fun game to watch, even though it was the Spurs and the Pacers, which it's not always. I was excited. This was a huge game for us.
Yeah, this is our best win of the year, I think, by far. I mean, I thought we controlled the game from the tip, basically. I guess San Antonio got up 4-0, but after that, the Pacers were in the lead, or at least in control of the game for the remainder there. I mean, the Spurs would make little runs, but I thought that the team did a great job of staying calm and staying collected and, you know, getting buckets when they needed to and getting stops when they needed to. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely helped that San Antonio couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. Ooh. From three-point range. They were, I think, four of 28 or something like that from 3-point range. Yeah, and
eight
and really
22.
Had an off night.
Yeah, at the end of the day, but oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. So, but you know, give the Pacers credit there. I mean, they worked their butts off on defense. I thought the really nice thing was that the Pacers, against the best defensive team in the league, did a good job of taking care of the basketball, first of all, and then getting themselves into good situations and getting good shots. I mean, they put up almost 100 on this team, which is
amazing.
Which is a nice accomplishment.
That's amazing. And to keep the turnovers in single digits, you're right, that's impressive.
With this game, CJ Miles did not play. Still got the strained calf. This is the first game for Ty Lawson. We get to see him. Five minutes. First assist was awesome. Big drive down the middle, under the basket, kicks it out to Stuckey for a three. Super excited. 5 minutes after he starts, he was a step on the camera, but he sprained his ankle, and he's out.
Well, second assist was pretty good, too. He set up Jordan Hill for a monster reverse dunk. I mean, he showed really early what he can do for us as a team, and just really crappy to see him go down 5 minutes into the game. He's playing well. He's clearly feeling it. But there were a couple calls that didn't go our way, and we never panicked. I mean, a guy goes down who's helping you, didn't panic. Calls don't go our way. No panic. Spurs make a run. No panic. This felt like a really professional basketball win for us.
Yeah. And it should be. We were also you mentioned CJ Miles was still out, but LaVoy Allen also missed this game. With a sore left knee. So the Pacers were shorthanded, and the Spurs, in atypical Spurs fashion, didn't rest anybody against us. So they had their full complement.
Yep.
So you can't, you know, there's no excuse of, oh, Tim Duncan sat this game out or whatever. You know, this was just...
Well, Pop wasn't
there. Nice team win. Oh, yeah.
Not that, what's his name? Messina's not a good coach, but...
Yeah, no I guess Pop. It's not the same.
Yeah, but when you've got Tim Duncan, Tony Parker out there, you expect them to be able to win ball games for you, no matter who's coaching, right? And they didn't play as poorly. You're right; they were just broke much of the game. We played good D, but they missed a lot of shots, especially
there were several wide open shots. Yeah, that they missed for sure.
Should be noted also. Shout out to David West, back in the building, got himself a nice ovation when he heard the game, and then nothing after.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, to get back to the Ty Lawson thing, I thought it was, you know, clear in those 5 minutes, like you said, what he could bring to this team. Like, he just has the ability to get into the lane, and he plays like a pure point guard. Like, he can get into these little nooks and crannies and know angles correctly and just create space, which is a thing that we just don't have on this roster right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it seemed, he got injured, but it didn't seem like anything major. And, you know, he'll be back. I think he's supposed to play tonight. We're playing in Atlanta, but very excited about what the possibilities that this guy brings to the table.
That's a huge win against the Spurs. And of course, at this time of the season, every win is very meaningful.
Sure.
So
they may all count the same, but that one counts for more.
Exactly. Pacers got a nice four nights off, which is crazy. Just this close to the All-Star break, but Saturday, March 12th, Pacers travel to Dallas for a nice 2 p.m. game. And that's after the time travel, too, mind you. I tell you what, guys. Pacers, we've been talking for a long time about not being able to close these games out. This may be changing. They finished this one off winning in Dallas, 112-105. And now I think I want to talk about George Hill coming up huge. Hit a bunch of threes at the end of the game. And the reason I bring that up is A, because it's awesome, and B, because I'm drinking from the Triton Brewery, the hometown hero, Golden Ale.
Oh, nice. Oh,
sweet.
It's very good. It's tasty to my palate.
Does George Hill get kickbacks off of that?
I am assuming not.
Fair enough.
PG had a great game, 20-10. Dirk, he had 30 points, but he was about the only one for Dallas that got going. This Dallas team, I don't know what's up. I don't really like Dallas. Harper, I think I may be with you. I know you're not a huge fan of the Mavericks, but I definitely respect Carlisle, and I think you do too.
Yes.
But this team, to me, there's just a bunch of guys who you know are pretty good to very good, but not enough to do a ton of damage.
I mean, I don't...
J.J. Barea, Darren Williams, and also I want to give a wag of my finger to Darren Williams because every time I see him, he looks like Vince Carter to me. He's got the headband and the beard.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't like that kind of misdirection. That's dirty play.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know that it's decided that they really have that much talent. I mean, they've got good system guys. And Nowitzki's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's amazing. Even, you know, with his shot-making ability and his size, he's still a really good player in this league. But he's not the type of guy that right now, with the other talent in the league, that you can win a championship behind, right? Chandler Parsons brings good all-around basketball and great shooting. Wes Matthews is a year off a knee surgery. He's not even quite himself yet. He's going to be very good for that team. But other than that, there's not that much there. It's just a whole lot of Rick Carlisle getting the most out of his team. And I respect the heck out of the Mavericks and certainly Rick Carlisle for what he's done with this team over the past, you know, how long has he been coaching there now? 6 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
So props to him, and we, you know, I certainly miss him as a coach, much as I love Vogel. I don't want to trade him, but special place in my heart for Carlisle, for sure.
Yeah, they're definitely, they are a professional basketball team. Like, all of those dudes that are on the floor know exactly what to do, and they play super hard, which I think is great for a team full of veterans. Oftentimes, they can be a little bit lackadaisical in the defensive end, but these guys bring it every possession. I thought this was a really nice team win for the Pacers. You know, we get seven guys in double figures in this game, and Solomon Hill had 8 points, so almost eight guys. And defensively, I thought we played quite well. I thought Jan was super active. Had a couple nice offensive rebounds from him and from Lavoy Allen down the stretch, too, leading to some of those George Hill three-pointers that you mentioned, Joey. Which were huge plays on the road, tough environment against the playoff team in the Western Conference, right? So, despite what disappointment you might have and what the Mavericks are, they still are a playoff team in the East, in the Western Conference, which is
that ain't nothing.
An impressive task, you know what I mean? So, this is another nice win. This is three straight really nice wins for the Pacers. You know, on the road, a back to back in Washington. Now, Washington is a team that's falling apart, but still, that's a nice win against, and then a win against a team that's going to win 70 games, and then go on the road, weird time of day, against a playoff team, and come out with a relatively convincing victory. Yeah. The Pacers had the lead the entire game.
Well, basically. I mean, I think it's clear that we used the time travel to our advantage in this game. So...
I think good teams.
Colson called it.
Teams can do that. That's what separates the mediocre teams and the great teams.
Yeah. The other nice thing was the return of CJ Miles in this game.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't really do a whole lot, but it was just good to see him back on the floor running around. And he's rocking the headband now. Do you guys, are you guys fans of the headband? The headband look for Siege?
I'm always a fan of the headband look.
Okay.
I saw you just 1 of 4 for 3, but the one that he made looked beautiful. And I think it inspired Miles Turner. He hit another three-pointer this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should have had two. They took one away from him.
Yeah. No.
They called it a two-point and then didn't review it, which was weird.
Yeah, Miles had a good game in spite of getting... In the first quarter, he just got turned around by J.J. Barea. It was pretty hilarious. But I'll tell you, George Hill, you mentioned Joey, had a very good game. I think that having a little competition at the one spot, regardless of whether you think Ty Lawson can take his spot or not, I feel like that's a really good thing on a basketball team, right? Plan against better competition in practice. George Hill came out early and took an aggressive mid-range jumper, and he canned it. And, you know, sometimes I think he's a little bit like Roy Hibbert, right? When he comes out and hits his first shot, he can be really, really dangerous against you. And I thought George Hill put out a great effort. J.J. Barea still had a very good game against us, but it seems like he always does. But this was, you're right, a wire-to-wire win. I think we caught this team a little bit at the right time. This is actually their fifth loss in a row. They're a little bit on the skids. But that shouldn't take anything away. That team is hungry, and it's hard to hand a good team its fifth loss in a row.
Yeah.
Especially on their court.
And special shout out to David Lee, who has to be one of the happiest guys in the NBA right now, because he was basically getting 0 minutes in Boston, gets waived, and is now playing significant minutes for Dallas, who's going to go to the playoffs. Like, he's a good guy. I don't like to see him doing work against the Pacers, but it was nice to see him out there and contributing on an NBA roster. I mean, you know, Colson really, you know, in a foolish statement, I think, early in the year, said he was going to make the All-Star game. But he is a good player.
He is a good player. And it just goes to show that sometimes you just got to be in the right system.
Well, or you just got to be on the floor. Yeah.
I want to give another shout-out to Monte Ellis. You know, you see these guys after they get let go or traded. They always want to stick it to their old team. And, excuse me, he had a great game, 17 points. In fact, my favorite part of the game for him was the last play that Dallas had offensively. He knew the play that Dallas was running and was telling his team what was happening. And they still didn't defend it real well, but he knew.
But the first step is knowing, right?
Right, yes. That's step one.
He did have another nice, really defensive play where he saw the play happening 3 seconds before it happened, got a steal, went end-to-end, and got the and-one on Chandler Parsons.
That was gorgeous.
That was so nice to watch.
That was basketball played the right way.
Yeah.
Love it.
I thought another defensive play he had, he and Brea one-on-one at the basket, and he just made this, awkward stretching, reach out and swipe the ball away. Take it away. So he's crafty like that.
Sure. So this was a Saturday game, and Friday Ty Lawson was apparently a full go, but didn't end up playing in this one. He's listed as sprained left foot, so I don't know if he had a setback in practice or whether Vogel didn't like the matchup. I thought that Ty Lawson would be a great matchup against this team, so I was concerned when Ty Lawson was a no go. But Stuckey and Hill did a great job in this one. This is a solid win. Felt good. And Turner, that one three ball that he hit, I mean, that was like the ice in this one. That was a clutch shot that he hit. Lots of good news.
He's having moments.
Yeah.
He's gonna contribute down the stretch here, for sure.
And even the shots that he missed in this one, they were all halfway down. That kid can really play.
Yeah, it was funny to watch Carlisle just run him ragged on the defensive end, though, basically. He's just like, all right, let's get this guy involved in all kinds of pick-and-roll action, off-ball screens. Like, there was a couple times he just ran over guys. He just had no idea what was going on.
It's like throwing forearm shivers, but really didn't even mean to.
Yeah.
It's just
you can
so
hear the guys
position.
On the pace. You can hear George Hill just yelling at him. He's like, come on, Miles, what are you talking
The pick and roll defense is a work in progress, but
yeah.
Luckily, his offense is good enough that he'll continue to see court time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Faux show.
So that leaves the Pacers at 35-30, pretty good, over 500. Right now, I think we're in 7th place, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th place in the East. As of Sunday, with a 2-game lead on the Detroit Pistons. And 17 games left in the season. What do you guys think Where can the Pacers get to? You know, there's clearly still a danger of not making the playoffs if they don't win enough games. You've got a couple teams below, Detroit and Chicago, D.C. These are good teams, and they're wanting to get to the playoffs. Orlando, I'm less concerned about. Milwaukee, but these guys want to get there. Mm-hmm. There a couple other teams, New York, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia, probably want to stay where they're at, so I wouldn't put too much stock in those guys. Content. Philadelphia, hey, these guys, they could get their 10th win any day now.
I have faith that they'll hit double digits this season. So just to kind of set the table here, there are Boston's in the third seed at 8.5 games back from the Cavs, and Detroit's in the 8th seed at 13.5. Chicago's just a game back from them, so it is a jumble in the Eastern Conference. So there's going to be a lot of movement over the next 17-ish games for all these teams. But looking forward, it's not too early to start thinking about who you'd like to play. As a coach, you just got to go out and win every game and get the highest seed that you can because you just don't know what's going to happen. But for me, I know that of these teams, I would love to be matched up against the Boston Celtics. Hmm. Very well-coached team, play very good defense. But come playoff time, when you look talent-wise at these two rosters, that's a team that we can handle, even if we have to go on the road and do it.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, they have the least playoff experience of them, or say I think it's clear that Cleveland and Toronto are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. You don't want to see them in the first round. Well, you definitely don't want to see the Cavs. Nope. Toronto, we talked about before, they could be beatable. They've definitely had their playoff struggles in the past. So, mm-hmm. The team that I kind of don't want to match up against is Charlotte. Because they just own us for some right. reason.
Do not play well against that team.
And then the Heat, I think, are an interesting team. There's talk that they might get Bosch back here towards the end of the season, and they have Joe Johnson worked into the mix now. And they're just a really veteran squad. So
I feel like we're on a collision course for the Heat. I just feel like with the rival that we've had with them over the past decade, there's just no chance that doesn't happen somehow.
Seems like that always happens.
Yeah. Right. But to be frank, the Celtics are the team I'd like to match up with. Certainly a Heatless or a Boshless Heat would be my second choice. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to play the Hawks either, right? I mean, Bud knows what to do. Sure. He's got a team that has a wealth of talent across the roster. They're a dangerous team no matter where they are. So as much as I would love to play Boston, and you've got the Brad Stevens thing going on, that's a great storyline. I feel like it's probably going to end up being the Heat.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of the Raptors still. I know they've got a good team. They're 44-20. But the teams they play the most are the worst in the Eastern Conference. So that's going to inflate their numbers some.
We knew they'd have a good record.
They're always going to have a good record with until they do something.
Cuz they play Philly, New York, and Brooklyn.
Right. Like every other day. The teams that are trying to lose. The Toronto was a beneficiary.
Sure.
But, you know, they still are a very good team.
Yeah. And they've had some good wins. We shouldn't take that away from them.
No, I agree. But they have not shown over the past, several years that they are able to win in the playoffs.
No.
It just has not happened.
No.
And ask Paul Pierce about that.
They've got a bunch more, right? They've certainly got a bunch more talent than Boston does, but they're not as well coached either. So, flip a coin, come playoff time.
I just think they're super hungry this year. I mean, after the past two years where they've gotten swept out of the playoffs, they just seem like they're a team that's on a mission. Lowry and DeRozan most especially, right? And they're the leaders of that team. So, that being said, if you steal game one in Toronto, I could see them and that whole fan base, their sphincters tightening and
crumbling.
Yeah. Not again.
Yeah, exactly.
Why bother?
Here we go. But so for the Pacers, looking forward, I mean, tonight we're recording this on Sunday night, and so the Pacers are currently playing Atlanta, who is the team right ahead of them in the standings. So this is a big game as far as playoff positioning goes. And then this week, coming up, we actually have matchups against playoff teams, all playoff teams. Tuesday hosting the Celtics, so that we might could see our preview of Harper's dream matchup here. And then Thursday we host the Toronto Raptors. Saturday, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I think the Pacers sent into a tailspin after we beat them after the All-Star break.
We got all up in their heads.
They have been struggling for a while now. So three home games this week, all against, like I said, playoff teams, so tough matchups, but, you know, got to take care of that home court.
Exactly, and it's that time of year. Like, these are measuring stick games, right? You want to know what your weaknesses are this time of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that you can attack them, correct them, and get right for playoff time. And then right after that, I mean, we've got a five-game home stretch. After that, we get to, you know, no matter what happens this week, we're going to get right with Philly on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a struggling Pelicans team. We go at Brooklyn. That's a win. I mean, we've got a pretty easy stretch of basketball coming up here. Houston, Chicago, Orlando, Philly, New York, before we finally play a good team again in Cleveland on the 6th of April.
Yep.
So we got
to get it exciting. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel here. I mean, and the Pacers definitely have an opportunity to climb up this ladder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although it's going to be tough because the people ahead of the Pacers are playing pretty good ball.
Sure.
So,
but not only do we have the feeling we've had, was this our first 3-game win streak since December? I think
something like that.
Yeah. Kind of sad, but we did that. Still struggling a little bit with injuries. We just picked up a guy who we think has a ton of upside. There's good reason to think that we're going to win a bunch more than we lose coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, our last 3-game win streak, we beat Toronto, Dallas, and Brooklyn December 14th, 16th, and 18th.
Mm-hmm. I think even preseason, Colson called out this stretch as one where we'd just be torching the league and make up a bunch of ground. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to rack up some wins right now. That'd be super helpful.
It's time to take care of some business.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Nope. Oh, I'm just so happy for this week of basketball. It's so great.
Yeah, it was a sweep for the week. You don't get to say that enough.
No.
Yeah.
Never. Unless you're the Warriors, in which case, screw you.
Until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. You can like us there. We got a contact form on our website, which is TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale.
Crispus Attucks High School. It's now a junior high. My sister went there. They have a strong history of basketball. And the Pacers honored that. So we can stop talking about it now.
Shout out.
Felt like Colson would want me to say it one more time. And for our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame, turn out the lights. Party's over.
I think it's like country style. I like that.
Yeah. I do like that. Short and sweet. Somebody break out the pedal steel.
Steel guitar action. Like it.
When are we gonna get our first acoustic guitar single?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think from now on, you have to sing at the end, we're gonna need some accompaniment from you.
I'll have to look up the chords and see if I can, figure that out. I was supposed to learn Rainbow Connection for Colson. That's his favorite
right.
song
ever.
Yeah. So maybe at the next UndebeataCon we can do a little recording. We can get Joey on the box. He can play the table drums.
Oh yeah, I'm a good table drummer.
Yeah, that'd be good. Find a harmonica for Harper. Be good.
Kazoo for me, thank you.
Kazoo. Sweet.